From the Valley to the Heights. There's power in waiting on the Creator. Run and not grow weary. The song is entitled Soar. It's by Meredith Andrews. Now, somewhat similar to what we were just talking about, you know, making sure that we don't make it a habit of just saying whatever comes to our minds, we need to also learn to set limits to strong statements. There are times when we're just going to have to initiate conflict. And I'm saying we'll be the ones initiating it. Technically, someone else has probably initiated it. They didn't show up when they were supposed to be there. They said something underhanded, and the behavior needs to be dealt with. Well, the cause of the conflict was the no-show or having made, you know, the underhanded statement. That's the cause of the conflict. But sometimes the conflict, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be followed up with. And one of the things that we keep in mind is to know when we're actually dealing with conflict, even if it means we're the ones who are formally, if you will, bringing the conflict to the surface. As leaders, we can speak our mind so often that we're not even aware of the effect that we have on other people. The older we get, the more comfortable we become, and the more unaware we become of the impact that we're having on other people. Dr. Linhart talks about coupons as a way to be aware of forcefulness in groups. So he tells groups that whenever they step into a meeting or a group, there's only one coupon. Each person only has one coupon in the pocket. That coupon lets them make a strong and uncomfortable statement or comment or point that may conflict with someone else's views. Now, notice what he's not saying. He's not saying each person can only disagree with someone else one time. That's not what he said. He said, when it comes to making a strong, uncomfortable statement that may conflict with someone else's views. That's what that one coupon, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, that one coupon is for. It's not an excuse for causing needless pain or for reminding everyone about an obsession. But it is permission to be direct, usually, but not always. Once a person has used the coupon, they're done. So again, we're trying to make sure that we're not just running roughshod over someone's feelings. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, oh man, you mean to tell me that I can be to the point only one time, that I can just let it out only one time? And you're thinking about this person or that person. Now, you really would like to let them have it five or six or eight times. I dig where you're coming from, but think about this. The same way you're restricted as to how many times you can just go off on someone else, and it's really, that's extreme. Because you shouldn't be taking it to that extreme that you can actually be said to have been going off on someone. But to be real direct, real forceful, you're restricted to one time, but so are the people who will be addressing you. They're restricted to just being real direct, real forceful one time. So it is about a controlled fairness. There was a leader once who had heard Dr. Linhart teach on the coupon principle, and he was fired up about a topic, but realized he'd already made some strong statements in that meeting. So he looked at Dr. Linhart and said, I'm playing my second coupon. And then he did, which was fine. The coupon principle has still served its purpose. It helps manage the number of moments when we're being forceful or we're initiating conflict. Remember now, what we want to do when these conflicts come up, or at least what we should be wanting to do, is resolve the problem. Identify what the problem really is and resolve that problem. It shouldn't be primarily about winning a debate against someone. And I can tell you now, that too is going to be a challenge because, again, real talk about the real world. In the real world, even amongst ministry leaders, you're going to have people who have attitudes and dispositions that are nothing like the attitudes and dispositions that ministry leaders should have. And they come to meetings with their agendas, and they've decided, I'm really not going to hear what so-and-so has to say. I'm not in this to try to determine what the real problem is and to come up with a good solution. I'm just going to debate, and I intend to win that debate. That is a messed up attitude. It's an ungodly attitude. It is certainly not the way that God would have his people behave, and it is not the way that people who are truly godly conduct themselves, particularly when it's pointed out that this is what you're doing and it's not helping at all, and the person continues to be that way. But the truth is, as I said, there are going to be people like that. There are many of them like that. And again, don't let whatever is inside of them prompting them to be that way cause you to decide you're going to be that way as well. Resist defensiveness. This is another one that we need to be on the lookout for. Resist being defensive. Almost no one just naturally likes criticism, even constructive criticism. But sometimes we feel attacked when someone appropriately identifies issues that need to be resolved. You know, one of the issues that I think can make this very, very tricky, you know, the resolving of conflict, etc., is you read so many experts, professionals, etc., who say, don't say to the person, this is what you are doing. This is how I feel when you do such and such. Sometimes it's going to be next to impossible to not resolve the conflict if we don't point out to people what they're doing wrong. You got to do it the right way and for the right reason. Again, when a person is truly bringing information to us that we need to hear, we should not become defensive.